Mapping China's Influence in Latin America. The ouster of Peru's president began with a secret late-night dinner. A series of clandestine encounters followed, dark glasses at one meeting, a hood over his face at another. Then videos leaked. Amid a nationwide uproar, three-quarters of Peru's lawmakers voted to censure the initially popular José Jerry, just 4 months into his presidency. He was the country's seventh leader in 10 years. "We ask to end this agony so we can truly create the transition citizens are hoping for," said Ruth Luque, one of 75 lawmakers who voted to oust Jerry. "Not a transition with hidden interests, influence peddling, secret meetings, and hooded figures. We don't want that sort of transition." The man meeting with Jerry was Chinese restaurant and wholesale store owner Yang Zhihua, who was behind several major Chinese infrastructure deals in the country. Dubbed Shifagate, a nod to fusion Peruvian-Chinese cuisine, the scandal has thrown another wrinkle into an already strained relationship between the two countries. Currently, Lima is fighting to regain oversight over a major China-controlled port at Chanke, which has become a symbol of China's footprint in Latin America. Across the region, a deeply entrenched web of Chinese influence is enabling the communist regime to redefine dynamics in America's backyard. Starting with near-negligible investment levels in 2000, China has become a dominant force in Latin America and the Caribbean, with trade exceeding $500 billion in 2024. For many individual nations, such as Brazil and Peru, China has overtaken the United States as a key trading partner. "Along the way, Beijing has built enormous leverage," said Ding Hengbin, associate dean at Loyola University Maryland Selinger School of Business and Management. "The Chinese Communist Party is playing the long game in Latin America," he told the Epoch Times. "With the money pouring in," Ding said, "Beijing reaps political influence, biding its time to challenge the U.S.-led world order." After 2 decades, he said, "the fire has reached the U.S. doorstep. Washington is now making clear that this can't continue." In its national security strategy released in November, the Trump administration made the region its top priority, describing a great American strategic mistake of recent decades in allowing non-hemispheric competitors to take hold in the Western Hemisphere. "The past inaction," the document reads, "has cost the United States both economically in the present and strategically in the future." Within weeks of the strategy being released, U.S. forces captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and brought that country's courtship with China to a halt. Just hours before his capture, Maduro hosted a Chinese envoy at the presidential palace. He accepted a porcelain vase and posed for photos with the Chinese delegates, then proclaimed on social media that the meeting reaffirmed the two countries' strong bonds of brotherhood through thick and thin. "The digital Silk Road. The brotherhood is Beijing's lever." In September, Maduro proudly showed off a foldable red-colored Huawei phone that he used daily, a gift from Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Maduro hailed it as the best phone in the world. "Americans can't hack it," he told reporters. To China, it was a validating moment in the regime's battle for technological supremacy, with Huawei leading the way. Blacklisted in the United States, the Chinese telecom provider has been deepening its foothold in other parts of the Americas. It spearheads the Digital Silk Road, a core element of Beijing's trillion-dollar Belt and Road initiative aimed at stretching the regime's power and influence around the globe. Huawei's data storage platform now covers every Latin American country, boasting the fastest business growth among telecoms. The significance of that sank in when Brazil sought to block Huawei from its 5G networks on national security grounds in 2020. Huawei's technology was already embedded in the country's telecom architecture. Replacing it would have cost billions of dollars. In 2022, Huawei signed a deal to turn Curitiba in southern Brazil into a 5G-powered smart city, integrating artificial intelligence and big data into urban life, from medical surgeries to public security. Its website now features an interview with the city's mayor, who touted Curitiba as a smart city that works for its citizens. and Huawei isn't the only Chinese entity expanding in the region. Market research data from Connolly show that Chinese phone brands now command more than 60% of the Latin American market. In Ecuador, the China-made ECU 911 system powers up surveillance cameras nationwide that feed real-time footage to a 1,000-strong police unit, which deals with everything from traffic to national security. Touting its scale of impact, she once called it a calling card for China-Latin America's high-tech collaboration. By law, Chinese companies have no choice but to hand over whatever they have if the Chinese Communist Party asks. And that makes their ubiquitousness problematic, said Evan Ellis, Latin American Studies research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. With all the data coming out of corporate boardrooms, factory floors, and people's homes, the key question is where they get offloaded, he told the Epoch Times. Chinese technology's presence in federal agencies across the region, he said, opens up government officials to blackmail. Predatory investments. Beijing has a phrase for its vision, the China-Latin America community with a shared future. She was the first to evoke the term. Addressing Brazil's National Congress in 2014, he compared the China-Latin America relationship with wine, something that grows better as it ages. The idea here is to rebuild from the roots, pulling the 33 Latin America and Caribbean nations together with China while keeping America out, Florencia Huang, a professor specializing in Latin American studies at Taiwan's Tamkong University, told the Epoch Times. Under that banner, China attracted more than 20 Latin American and Caribbean countries to join the Belt and Road partnerships. Hundreds of infrastructure projects followed. Chanke Port, a $1.3 billion project nearly 50 miles from Lima, is at the top of that list. The deepwater port, covering about 445 acres of Peruvian territory, is the primary Chinese logistics hub on the Pacific side of Latin America. Its strategic positioning directly links South America to China, cutting shipping time by nearly half while facilitating Beijing's access to minerals critical to its industrial demand. Chinese shipping giant Costco has 30 years of exclusive operating rights to the port. The Peruvian Port Authority blamed this on an administrative error in 2024. But its bid to void the terms quickly fizzled out. The country's Congress approved changes that legalized the Costco deal. In a further win for Costco, a Peruvian court on January 29 restricted state oversight of the terminal's operations. The United States warned that Peru could lose sovereignty of critical infrastructure in its own territory to predatory Chinese owners. Let this be a cautionary tale for the region and the world. Cheap Chinese money costs sovereignty, the State Department's Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs wrote in a February statement. Predatory is also what Ellis calls development projects such as Chanke, one of around 40 ports with Chinese investment in Latin America. Similar Chinese dominance repeats in sectors such as critical mineral extraction, logistics, and renewable energy. A common pattern here, according to Ellis, is to first secure market access in strategic sectors, then control the supply chain. If you want access to the cheapest, fastest route, you need to cooperate with the Chinese, Ellis said. It gives them leverage. Then little by little, he said, they can push other shipping alliances out of business and capture the most important trans-Pacific routes for themselves. As a state-owned enterprise, Costco has worked closely with the People's Liberation Army, providing logistical support in both Lebanon and Yemen in the 2010s. In the event of a military crisis, say a conflict with the United States in the Indo-Pacific, Costco's officials would use their exclusive control over that port in any way they could to resupply PLA warships, said Ellis. The Epoch Times has contacted Costco for comment. A broad fishing net. In the heart of Argentina's Patagonian desert, behind an 8-foot barbed wire fence, a Chinese entity subordinate to the PLA's Strategic Support Force runs a seclusive space station. Access to outsiders is by appointment only. within roughly 100 miles south of the Florida shore, for strategically located Cuban sites alleged to have ties with China hold antennas and other gear that can collect intelligence on the United States, according to satellite imagery analysis. Of them, at least one underwent new upgrades in 2025 that could significantly enhance its surveillance capabilities, the Center for Strategic and International Studies said. Covert intelligence gathering and dual-use facilities are far from the sole avenues for China in building an edge. More prominent, and apparently successful, are the regime's broad overtures to foster ties on a personal level. China's senior military leaders have visited the region hundreds of times in the past two decades, according to the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. Concurrent with these activities were a stream of military exchanges, joint drills, and arms sales. Beijing also heaped on incentives, offering Latin American military officers free training, business class travel, and five-star hotel stays in China, the Rand Think Tank wrote in a 2022 Pentagon-sponsored research. Through a state-directed program called Bridge of the Future, Beijing brought more than 1,000 Latin political dignitaries and young leaders on China trips, Chinese government records show. Wang Yi, Chinese foreign minister, said in May 2025 that Beijing intended to invite 300 Latin American delegates in each of the following 3 years. And such efforts have paid off. A Honduran congressional staffer, during a 2023 trip to a party red tourism village, gushed to Chinese state media about China's poverty alleviation campaign, saying the regime had created a miracle in human history. Other testimonials from Latin American officials abound, with an Argentinian colonel praising the Belt and Road Initiative and a major general crediting the regime's COVID-19 control measures with buying the West time. For a clue as to how much the regime values these programs, look no further than the Chinese white paper that dovetailed the U.S. national security strategy. Reading the document, Ellis said it amazed him how many different programs there are for people at all levels. The Chinese cast their fishing nets very broadly, he said. It's like sowing seeds, he stated. Only a small portion of those people may go on to be important, but for that small subset, he said, it opens up the door to other more nefarious relationships. Ellis observed it in his own social circle. A Panamanian friend got a 4-year scholarship to study at China's state-affiliated Fudan University. When Ellis ran into him again years later, the Chinese university graduate had become Panama's technical representative, taking part in free trade negotiations with Beijing. Nicole Wong, who previously served as General Director of Foreign Policy for Panama's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, is another such example, Ellis said. Also Panamanian, Wong studied Chinese at Jinan University, a school directly under the party's global influence disseminating arm known as the United Front Work Department. The school in 2018 became a designated training ground for instructors before their departure to overseas Confucius Institutes, another United Front program that disseminates Chinese propaganda in the guise of language teaching. In 2017, Wong played a key role in steering Panama toward China and away from Taiwan. Later, on Chinese state media, she claimed credit for the Panama model for El Salvador and the Dominican Republic. Both countries followed Panama's footsteps in severing diplomatic ties with Taiwan in 2018. After leaving the Panamanian government, Wong did a stint with China Harbor Engineering Company Americas, advising the Chinese state construction firm as it embarked on a series of infrastructure initiatives across Latin America. Ellis described Wong as a brilliant person who just kind of got sucked into this web of Chinese influence. It's not that the 2 years in China made her a Chinese agent, but it may have shaped her to see China in a positive way and built relationships that probably deepened as she then became more important, he said. The Epoch Times has contacted Wong and China Harbor Engineering Company Americas for comment. The pendulum swings. The political climate in the region is now shifting against Beijing's favor. Late 2025 ushered in a rising bloc of right-wing leaders whose ideology hews closer to the Trump administration than China. Ahead of Honduras's presidential election in late November, both leading candidates disparaged the country's decision to sever ties with Taiwan. The 2023 move cost Honduras a lucrative market that had long been a lifeline to its shrimp industry. With Chinese buyers unable to fill the demand, Honduran shrimp exports plummeted by two-thirds, leading to more than 60 company closures and 14,000 job losses. "We were 100 times better off with Taiwan," Nasri Asfura, the country's new conservative leader, said before his December victory. Honduras is likely not the only one feeling buyer's remorse, according to Paraguay President Santiago Peña Palacios, a steadfast Taiwan ally in the region. "A lot of the time, many of the leaders thought that having a relationship with China will open the market, the huge Chinese market. And the reality has been quite the opposite," he told the Epoch Times in early 2025. "All that means the political pendulum is swinging back to the U.S. side," said Shenming Shi, a research fellow at Taiwan's Institute for National Defense and Security Research. "China talks the talk," he told the Epoch Times. "But when the promises and expected checks don't deliver, the countries that once looked to China for help will turn to the United States or Taiwan." Ella shared Shen's view. "Latin America is littered with Chinese projects that have turned out disastrously," he said. "The Coca-Cola Sinclair hydroelectric project in Ecuador is, in his telling, the supreme example of how a project can go hugely wrong. Despite a $2.6 billion price tag, the China-built dam faced significant delays and chronic shutdowns. It has reported more than 17,000 cracks. Working with China," Ella said, "is akin to playing with fire. If you're very, very careful," he said, "maybe you can heat up your soup, but if you're not careful, you'll burn the house down." Beijing's failure to aid Maduro is another message to other Latin American countries that work with the Chinese regime," Ella said. "China will make money off of you," he said. "But don't count on China to be there when you need them." With the rightward turn comes an opportunity for the United States to reshuffle the cards. And Washington has been capitalizing on the momentum. U.S. President Donald Trump has invited Latin American leaders to a March summit in Florida ahead of his trip to Beijing. In recent months, at least six countries have inked trade or critical minerals agreements with the United States. Panama in January canceled contracts that allowed Hong Kong CK Hutchison to operate two strategic ports on its canal. Six Latin American nations joined the United States in issuing a statement of support. At a recent investor conference in Sao Paulo, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the administration is working on retaking sovereignty from China in strategic sectors. "And in Latin America," he said, "there is a generational opportunity to strengthen ties for governments that are open to it." Iru contributed to this report.